Like Sylvia Plath herself, Plath's parents, Otto and Aurelia, have had to bear a difficult posthumous burden. Plath used her parents, like so many others in her life, as material for her writing. They existed as real people whose praise she craved and, at the same time, a deep fictional resource. They were of her, but not her. A looking glass that reflected the possibility of what might or might not be, and she could not resist plumbing their depths as she sought to understand her own. She came to feel that in her parents lay the root of her anxieties and, encouraged by her psychiatrist in the late 50s, she began to lash out at them in her journals and later, her poems. Plath would express rage toward her parents, at her father for abandoning her, at her mother for hovering too close. They remain distorted caricatures stuck in amber. In Plath's most famous poem, Daddy, Otto, who died when she was 8, is a patriarchal tyrant, a Nazi bastard. Aurelia, skewered in the bell jar, is a menacing martyr who demands perfection from her daughter. But if Plath inherited anxiety and depression from her parents, she also inherited intelligence, discipline, and ambition. They stand Janus-faced, curse and blessing, at the beginning and end of Sylvia Plath's story. In Otto Plath's case, myth has overshadowed truth in the popular imagination. For many readers of Sylvia Plath, Otto Plath is Daddy, Aryan, fascist, Nazi. In fact, Otto Plath was a committed pacifist who renounced his German citizenship in 1926 and watched Hitler's rise with trepidation. He held himself to rigid moral standards and expected others to do the same. In a photograph taken when he was a college student in Wisconsin, around 1910, he gives the impression of a man who does not suffer fools gladly. He sits unsmiling in the front row, surrounded by drunken peers, laughing and holding steins. This is the serious, driven young man who would not compromise his ideals, even if that meant severing ties with his family, a decision that would have a profound impact on his daughter. At least 3 generations of the Plath family lived in Posen Province, West Prussia, before coming to America. Today, Poznan, is part of Poland, in the area known as the Polish Corridor, when it was transferred from the German Empire to Poland after the Treaty of Versailles in 1919. Like the Alsace-Lorraine region, it became a disputed territory, where tensions between ethnic Poles and Germans ran high. Despite the fact that the majority of those living in this area were Poles, Hitler attempted to annex it in 1939, one of the early acts of aggression that spurred France, Britain, and other Commonwealth nations to declare war on Germany. Though Otto Plath left Posen in 1900, well before both world wars, his daughter would eventually portray him as an embodiment of German imperialist aggression in Daddy. Posen, whose population comprised Germans, Poles, and Jews, who lived in separate ethnic enclaves, was perhaps the poorest region in Prussia. By the late 1800s, ethnic Germans, lured by the booming industrial economy in the Rhine and Ruhr regions, as well as free land in America, began leaving the region en masse in the Ostflucht, or flight from the East. More than 2 million had left by the early 1900s, including Sylvia Plath's paternal great-grandparents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, and father. Her great-grandfather, Johann Plath, was an illiterate farmer, but his grandson Otto would eventually become a Harvard-educated professor, and his great-granddaughter a trailblazing poet and novelist. Sylvia's perfectionism, often derided as neurotic or pathological, needs to be understood within the historical and sociological context of the American immigrant experience, which framed her life. Her desire to excel on all fronts has its roots in the Germanic aspirational work ethic that was her inheritance. Otto Plath's German provenance was important to his daughter. Sylvia wrote that she felt her German background very strongly and talked up her German-Austrian roots to her German pen pal, Hans Joachim Noppert, in high school. "I feel a strong kinship for anything German," she told him in 1949. "I think that it is the most beautiful language in the world, and whenever I meet anyone with a German name or German traits, I have a sudden secret warmth